Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast. I am your host, Stephanie Diaz, and we are broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studios at Digital Ignition. And I am super excited because today we have a double dose of Stephanie's with an F in the house. Stephanie Jewett of Actively, welcome.
Hey, y'all. Hey.
My startup sister.
Hola.
I'm so excited. Yes, got the Latina-ness. Yes. In the house. Going to be talking startup.
To make it that much more complicated. Two Stephs with an F. We're both Latinas. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. This entire time as we're prepping for the show, they're saying Stephanie and both of us are turning our heads. So,
yes.
So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to dive in. You and I have known each other for a while. I think we met early this year. And it's just been so great getting to know you more and watching your growth. And you're just doing so many amazing things in Atlanta and with your startup that I'm really excited to dive in to that.
Thank you.
And as we do, I do want to share with the listeners, first of all, you can follow us. We'll be live tweeting out some behind the scenes photos. So follow us at North Fulton BRX on Twitter so that you can see both of the Stephanies.
And all the fun we're having.
And all of the fun that we're having here. But also, I want to share with you an exciting event that I have coming up at the end of July. Yes. It is called Face Forward, and it's a personal branding and visibility intensive. And Stephanie, you've been gaining a lot of visibility here recently.
Boy, I hope so.
Yeah,
well, we're working on it.
You were the MC at the We Rise conference.
Yes, I was.
That was huge.
Yes.
I mean, how many people attended that?
I believe about 400.
Yeah.
And it was the inaugural one, and I think really important to Atlanta and the women in tech community. I mean, it's really the first one of its kind here. So it was really special event to be a part of.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not always easy as you're starting to gain more visibility to know exactly how to handle that.
Absolutely.
You know, doors are opening. You don't know which ones are right for you. You have to get clear on your message. And there's so much to work through when you're in that phase.
I was going to say, that's probably something you and I have discussed on several occasions.
Yes.
Just like finding your alignment, like what makes sense for you and what is going to... kind of like my own mantra is like sincere but strategic.
Mm.
So like within the realm of what's true to you, but also it's going to move your visibility forward or your company forward, how to find what makes sense. And I think that's what helps being able to navigate what's the right move, what to do and what not to do.
Right. And so, you know, for entrepreneurial women who are in that situation, doors are opening, they're ready to show up. They know that they've got something important to share and they're ready to step into that. On July 28th at Rome Buckhead in Atlanta, I'll be hosting a full-day workshop. It's intimate, limited spaces because this is truly an interactive and collaborative session where we're going to be diving deep into personal brand and visibility. So if you're listening and you want to check that out, then visit mastermindyourlaunch.com/faceforward, and you'll see all of the information there.
But can't miss event.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's going to be a powerful day. So now let's dive into your journey, Stephanie, because you have been facing forward.
What?
Yes, in a big way, and it's been beautiful to watch. Why don't you give the listeners a little bit of background, like pre-startup, you know, your career, where you started, and what you're up to today.
So in my previous life, before taking the entrepreneurial plunge, I was a producer at CNN for about 5 years. And I moved to Atlanta, sight unseen, as a plucky young intern. And I was like, I have to make this work. So I found where I would really be useful to CNN, and I worked my way up. I produced here for The Brooke Baldwin Show, back in the day, Rick Sanchez, and then moved to DC for the relaunch of Crossfire. So... obviously didn't do so hot thanks to the Malaysia missing airlines, but I got a lot of really great political experience. And then I went over to Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. And yes, he is really as nice in person as he appears on TV. He's awesome. And then I decided, you know, there's something more that I have to contribute. And it was moving to DC for CNN that I now get out of work at 8 p.m. versus 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And at 8 p.m., there's not a lot of people who haven't gone to the gym yet. It was hard to find a gym buddy.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to find a fellow girl to go running. DC is a little dicey at night. You don't want to run alone. And that's kind of what inspired me to launch my startup Actively. It was out of necessity. Actively, spelled it two V's, is my app, and we've launched in October, and it helps you find fitness buddies, a girl to do yoga, hiking, biking, or a guy. You can set the gender and the age range. And I think a really great way to meet people within a low pressure setting.
You know, it's always fascinating to me when someone connects to an idea. So you have this problem, you know, I need to connect to someone who I can go work out with. And then you start to think, oh, I bet other people are having this problem. But to then say, I think I might solve this with technology and then start to take meaningful action. There's, you know, I don't know what percentage I would assign to it, but there it's a small percentage, I think, of people that would actually take that step.
Who are sane enough.
Crazy enough, I know.
The ones who don't, who are sane enough to not.
Right.
You know, to that point, it was something that I kept seeing, the same pain point over and over. My boyfriend moved with me to DC. He is a faithful gym attendee. He's a buff bro. And he would have to work out with me and he'd look longingly at the two, you know, bros that are lifting 200 pounds. And he's stuck with me spotting him and he didn't know how to join them.
Yeah.
And my best friend is Australian. She moved to Atlanta and she's climbed Patagonia in the Himalayas and couldn't find, I'm not going to climb with her. I don't know how. Over and over, friends who wanted to run the Peachtree Road Race. And these are all really friendly, including myself, outgoing people. And if it was hard for us to find a buddy just to go work out or do an activity with, I knew that there would be more people. And that's really been the response. People are like, I need this. As a matter of fact, I limit it to sports, but people keep adding, need a concert buddy, going to a festival. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. So the idea kept coming to you.
100%. That was, I've never thought about being an entrepreneur. I was a journalist and am a journalist to the core. I love producing. I love writing scripts and research. And so that was never something that I considered. But if something keeps hitting you over the head, at some point you have to take notice.
Right.
And I had no choice but to take notice.
So what were some of your first steps?
This is going to sound, I didn't even know what a mobile app really was or how to build it. So I was still living in DC and I knew I needed to figure this out. So I went to, I didn't even know what General Assembly was. They had just launched in DC and they had a free how to find or how to build a mobile app. And I was like, okay, this is a free session. I'm going to go and get this information. And I would say being a journalist has made the process, which is not easy. It's extremely difficult, but it makes it that much easier because what I can do is find information. Mm. So I know at my fingertips on Google, somebody's written a blog. Someone's done Thank You, Steph, all the podcasts that teach you how to do these, take the next step. So that's what I did, a lot of research. What's a mobile app? How do you get it out there? What kind of language? I took coding bootcamp classes. Just empowering myself with information to take the next step and the next step.
Right. Those baby steps sometimes. Uncle Google and YouTube University. Between those two, you can become an expert.
And I would say, particularly, I am a girl's girl. So for the ladies, particularly, so many of us are hesitant to try and branch out or try something different. But as easily as we can find a DIY idea on Pinterest, or as easily as we can find a hair tutorial or a makeup tutorial on Instagram, just that easy it is to find the information that you want to build an app or your business. So I know a lot of us sometimes feel, I'm young, I'm right out of college, I don't have the money. But what we have to our advantage is time and energy. So put your energy and put your time to finding one step at a time. So I start today with learning what a mobile app is, and tomorrow I figure out the next move from there. But one piece at a time, don't let the whole journey overwhelm you. It's at our fingertips, literally.
Yeah. So I love what you say about, you know, you can find the time, but often when we start finding that time, we do have to start cutting away at other things.
Yes.
And before you realize
painfully,
all of these things that used to consume your time, all of a sudden it's like, you know, that's not really important to me anymore. I'm putting so much energy into this new thing. Can you share a little bit about that, how that's been for you?
It's been painful, I would say. Necessary, but so, you know, it's growth. So I would say I am a person who's gone to a million music shows, festivals. I like to go out and have a good time. I'm from Miami and I'm Cuban and we like to party and like to dance and, you know, go to cultural events. And, you know, you look up and you realize I've spent 6 months learning how to code, learning how to build a website. And I'm like, who am I now? Like now that I don't do these things and my friend group that goes with it, who are you? And that's been painful. You're like, how do I hold on to the person that made me and still learn? So it's just, you do prioritize and then you learn, okay, I don't have to be so, it doesn't have to be so arduous. You can take a step back and go to that balance. Music show and, you know, check out that band that you've been dying to see when they come to Atlanta.
Yeah.
But that's an excellent point. It is a lot of cutting things. And sometimes people, when I moved back to Atlanta from DC, I moved back to launch actively. And it was really painful to realize your social circle and people you care about. It's not that you don't care. It's just not the priority because you have something that is so great that you are trying to create.
Yeah.
How do you do that and still be best friends with 100 people? You can't. You just really can't.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes, you know, it's all a part of the process and it's meant to move you in a new direction.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow's my B-day.
Happy early birthday, girl.
Thank you. And as I'm like, you know, planning my little activities and everything, it's really interesting because I, you know, have so many beautiful friends, but I can kind of identify, like, these are from an old chapter and these are from the new chapter. And it was really interesting to me that I'm going to be celebrating on Saturday with people, most of whom, like, have come into my life within the last year. And they're the ones who are like, I'm so going to be there, wouldn't miss it for the world. And, you know, but it's growth. Like, who wants to stay still? You know, things should keep evolving and you should keep discovering new aspects of yourself and meeting new people. Like, it's beautiful. It's hard. But it's also beautiful.
I think that one I carried with me from my journalist days. And there's like several lessons that you learn in journalism. Part of it is you are going to move a million times. So you know that you can love people, but you have to let that particular time frame go or that friendship not necessarily go, but it has to move on.
It's going to change.
Right. Yeah. So that, and then also don't fall in love with anything. One of the most important lessons, I mean, not to not be compassionate, not to love, but one of the most important things my executive producer taught me, she was like, you can spend a week working on an assignment, on a project, on a report, whatever it is. And if some breaking news happens, forget it ever existed because it'll never see the light of day. And you put in, and just sometimes in life, you can put all this time and energy and effort and it served its purpose for that moment, for the season. And in a loving, peaceful way, you got to let it go.
Exactly. Yeah. When I had KP Reddy on the show, one of my favorite quotes, and it's still like one of my favorite quotes on the show ever, is he just bluntly said, your first idea sucks. Like, just like, let it go, you know? And a lot of people get attached to, you know, it has to be this way. But if it's going to keep growing, I mean, that's the whole point of visibility. And you need that feedback loop
100%
to improve.
If you're not flexible, if you're not willing to constantly reassess and this isn't for you.
Yeah.
Like you have to, because what was good yesterday in social media, right? Like, let's just go on that level. So it was all about Facebook and all about Instagram and Snapchat and whatever. Like if you're not willing to be flexible and be open to the new and to the next, then you're going to be stagnant and you're not going to be able to keep up in a meaningful way.
I love it. So getting back to your story. So you're coming to Atlanta.
Yes.
So let's talk about, you know, your first few months in Atlanta. What was your priority? What are you working on? What was happening?
So I've been back to Atlanta twice. The first time was when I first moved here, sight unseen. And when I returned from DC explicitly to launch, to create and launch actively, it was head down work. I thought, okay, I'll get settled in. I'll find an apartment again. I'll take it easy. And I had the opportunity to go to a coding boot camp within a week. So I'm living out of my boyfriend's parent basement and we're commuting 30 miles from Johns Creek to the city every day with no car because we had sold our car in DC. It was really difficult, but it shows what your priorities are.
Yeah.
It was just head down and work. So took coding classes enough that I could speak to my developer competently.
Yes.
I'm by no means a badass coder. You guys are awesome. But I learned that gave me the confidence to learn web design and to learn building graphics and Illustrator and Photoshop, things that empowered me and also as a startup save you money.
Right.
Whatever you can do yourself, if you're bootstrapped, we'll save you $10,000 on a website or, you know, $2,000 on graphics. And so you just learn how to do what you can, how to hack that.
Yeah. Well, and bootstrapping too allows you to maintain that control 100%. As well so that it's really your vision that's coming to life.
And I think you meet so many people and everybody's got their own take on it. And it can be overwhelming if you are not clear on your vision, on your goal, because every time I meet somebody, they're like, have you considered adding dog walking to actively? Right. But first I got to get traction on sports. And have you considered mommy play dates? Yes. And that will happen. But
niche.
Play dates for the kids, not for the mom. Or maybe for the moms. Yes,
Staying clear on your
absolutely.
Niche. 100%.
Because it is easy to get lost when you have a lot of things coming at you rapid fire.
Right. And that's, you have to, yeah, maintain a clear focus on your own vision, you know, but keeping in mind that those are great ideas just at the right time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And those things will evolve, but the niche focus really being, find a fitness buddy. But at our core, what actively is, and I'll leave you for you guys to think about this, you know, for all the ways technology makes your life easier. There's Uber, you don't have to bother mom and dad to, or a boyfriend or girlfriend to take you to the airport. You don't even have to go to the bank to deposit a check. So mm-hmm. all the ways that technology makes our life easier is removing the human connection. And there's still not a way to make a friend. You can have sex. You can fall in love from the palm of your hand on Tinder, on Grindr, on Match.com, whatever you're into. But there's still not an easy, low-pressure way to just say, hey, I need a friend while I'm visiting from Washington, D.C. to Atlanta.
Right.
There's still nothing that allows you to do that. And I think that is what the core of Actively is and what we are creating. An easy, low-pressure, focused way. It's an activity. It's fitness. It's a couple of hours, so it doesn't have to be painful. A way to meet people and engage with them. And if you like each other, you do it again. And if not, no pressure. But there's still nothing that helps bring back the human connection element.
I am all about that. So I want to know, you know, how long did it take you? Because there's a version that's out right now.
Yes.
How long did that take to develop?
The earnest development process took from June until October, because it is a heavy back end as far as the database, all the criteria with which you match.
Mm-hmm.
So that took some time. And I did some of the front end, and that was, you know, a learning experience. And certainly the app you see today, which is very cute, but it's not where it should be for prime time yet. And that's what this update is. This update is taking us from a really cute MVP, really solid, because I've seen a lot of others and we're solid, we're cute, we're adorable, to really take us to that next level that is going to get us major traction and investments.
Yeah. So talk to me about this rebranding and re-release that you guys are doing now.
So the re-release is going to give us added functionality. It is still not the complete vision because we are looking for investment,
right?
If anyone's listening, to get to that next level. But we're going to let you select multiple activities, simple things, and things that you learn, even in your product design. For me, I let you pick one activity at a time, currently and actively, and there's a cogwheel, a settings button that allows you to go back and change it. I thought it would be pretty easy to understand, and that's one of the biggest complaints I've gotten. So I know that that is a really big area for improvement. So the next version is going to be so obvious, going to smack you in the face, that you can select multiple activities and change them. So those are the kind of things that you learn.
Yes.
Right? So like you have this grandiose, like, this is going to be the life-changing app.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, people don't even know how to change their activity. So first things first.
Good. And you're going through a rebrand too, like logos and colors and the look and feel.
So I know we're going to lean into, we are actively spelled at 2 V's. So if you're looking for us, you're going to find us actively spelled with 2 V's. And that's kind of like our little tagline. And a lot of people, we make it a joke, we have fun with it. So we're going to have a really cute icon that reflects it and mm-hmm. just, I think, a cleaner color palette. Very, very cute. And I'm going to be just a little bit more artistic. I am not afraid. This is part of growth. I wanted to make an app that was so, like every other app, so vanilla, because you're like, this is what's easy to digest.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just a little bit edgier or cooler, because I'm a person who likes
trend. I was like, this is you. Yeah, it's totally you.
But I'm a person who likes trend and I can identify them quickly. So instead of shying away from what I know mm-hmm. and what I can see, I'm really good at identifying that stuff. So I'm just going to own it.
I love it. Amped up. That's what I mean, preach. So yeah, you have to bring it.
And finding, I would say part of the process that we talk about is finding your own voice and being good with finding your voice. Like,
yes.
This is who I am. These are my strengths and I'm not going to shy away from them.
It's a beautiful thing to me. Like, that's a muscle that you strengthen
yes.
over time. You know, it starts with just a little bit here. And then over time, you just find yourself being so unapologetic and being so clear on what is you that you just throwing it in everywhere.
Heck yes.
I love it. Really quick, you kind of, you know, mentioned social media a little bit. And I've got to shout you out for the amazing job that you do on Instagram,
especially.
I love following you there. Talk a little bit about, I don't know if this was like a natural strategy for you or how it's maybe evolved, but you're doing a great job. You're very active and you engage a lot. Maybe share some lessons learned on Instagram.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we do have competitors and I do occasionally stroll to their Instagram feeds. And I think there's a lot of, so the space that I'm in, there's several other young people. And when I say young, I mean like I'm 32. So there's several other people who are within that age range who are building these kind of find a fitness buddy apps. And they're doing everything except paying attention to their social media. Mm. You know, you're mailing it in. And where does your target demographic live? You're creating this. And in theory, it's ideally for millennials, right? Like a certain age group.
Yeah.
Where is your target demo? And why aren't you focused on that?
Right.
So sure, I can be on Facebook and we are. But Facebook's API buries anything that you don't pay for. So that's really just a waste of your time. Twitter is a very niche crowd, a lot of journalists, a lot of business people. But that's not really the people who are going to consume and use your app. Your consumers live on, your target demo lives on Instagram. So I give content that is going to resonate, that's going to interest them, that you're going to stop and you're going to scroll back up to see what exactly the heck did you just see.
Right.
And part of our strategy is, so we are a startup and we are bootstrapped. I might not have $1 million to create content, but I can go and find really good content and repost it from people who already are in the partner and workout space and give you ideas. So you can find a partner and actively and then try out any of the workouts that we share from social media influencers.
So I just want to dive deep into that for anyone who's like, wait a second, I'm thinking about using Instagram and why this is such a great idea. First of all, you typically are reposting video content.
Absolutely.
Which we all know, like, it's about video. People will sit, you know, will actually watch video longer. It's more engaging. So that's number one smart thing that you're doing. Two, the fact that you're reposting, yes, it keeps you from having to create all of this content, but it also builds your community. That's a really generous way of letting someone know that actively exists is by sharing their content, because they feel, they're like, oh my God, my, you know, my post got reposted, you know, and then now they're loyal to you because you made them feel great.
And I would say, yes, reinforcing the brand. The majority of the videos that we post are people working out together. So I think there's this, like, everybody wants a friend or a buddy, and no one wants to say, I'm the person who needs a buddy, but your friends might be working when you're free.
Right.
Or they're out of town for the weekend, or you're just here for traveling. But if you see that it's okay, it is that pervasive, it is that prevalent. So there's no need to shy away from it. You know, lean into it. Here's a cool workout. Here's an astonishing feat. Don't be afraid to find somebody to try it. So we're constantly reinforcing the brand. Two or three people working out, it's motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the better ones that we've posted, the ones that really hit home, we'll have, you know, Kevin Hart. We have celebrities, Brooke Burke, and they all need friends. And they talk about needing friends to work out with. So if these people that have money and access need it, then
still need it.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's just be clear. It's okay to need a little extra motivation. And how do you find that?
Right. And then the last thing that I want to just kind of give you props on is the fact that you engage, like you comment and respond to people who are engaging with your content as well. So just, you know, I know that that's taking a lot of time.
It sure does. All of it takes, I know why my other competitors mail it in, because even reposting a video means digging through hundreds of feeds to find the most compelling. And I really share the most compelling, like the craziest stunts or exercises or so all of it takes time, but you got to do what you can do with what you have. So again, don't have the $1 million yet, but what I do have is time.
Yeah.
So I can take the time and invest in people and create that brand loyalty. And I comment, not just the people that comment on my stuff. I make sure that I let, when I follow other people, the first thing after you tell me, hey, I'm going to download your app, I'm going to check it out. And I ask, how can I support you? What are you doing? Let me follow you. So I follow tons of people who have their own businesses and support actively. And I comment. That's the hardest thing, is to get engagement. So if I can help a little bit, show other people that there is interest in what this person is posting and people care and it's fun and exciting, then that's in my very small way to give back and to build that engagement.
Well, and it's also reinforcing that human connection that
Absolutely.
You're like, you know, driven by in the first place.
This isn't an Instagram bot. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Mastermind Your Launch on Business Radio X. I'm your host, Stephanie Diaz, and I have Stephanie Jewett of Actively
Hey.
In the house today. I'd love to jump over to Startup Sisters.
Yes.
And I mean, you're doing so much in the Atlanta startup community to bring both women and Latinos together. I mean, talk about in the midst of building your own app, giving this energy towards the greater community.
So I think it is really who I am. I really, really believe I am first generation Cuban. My parents came from Cuba. And I really, really think that there is a lack of positive influence within the Latino community, especially in Miami, where so many of us are first, like our parents barely speak English, mm-hmm. you know, we barely a lot of times speak English. There is a lack of positive influence. So it feels like a mission to me to show other young women this is possible too. And the beauty of Atlanta is that you have tons of women in tech. Still not as much as there should be, but you still have quite a few, and you have a lot of Black women in tech. So that you have very visible figures if you're a young Black woman, and the women in tech period in Atlanta are going to come swoop in and try to help you.
Yeah.
Just across the board, if you put yourself out there, but there's not a lot of Hispanic women. So really, or Hispanic people, period. I mean, mm-hmm. So I co-organized a Latino developers meetup, and you know, we've got 400 people that are members of the group. And on average, we're averaging 40 people a meetup, which is great
because
it hasn't been out a year yet. So it's still growing. But there's not a lot of representation for us. Even at 500 startups, they had the Inclusion and Diversity Summit. I think there was like, we were the two Latinas and maybe mm-hmm. one other.
Yeah. I'm like, well, there was Guy from Worthix.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was three.
There's three of us
that I can think of right now.
Yeah. But I would say just to go, if I maybe macro for a moment, I think what really is a driving force is that, and I've mentioned this in front of you before, Atlanta is really in its teenage stage, right? Like we are growing and we are growing fast and there's growing pains that come with it. But we would be remiss. I would be remiss if we didn't raise that banner and, hey, everyone, Atlanta is changing right now. And if we don't shape it the way that we want, we're going to end up in another Silicon Valley. And I don't mean that in a positive way, right? If you do not make it your mission from this inception where it's really growing and booming to make sure that we are an inclusive place for tech, for women, for minorities, for Latinos, for the LGBT community, we are always going to regret it. And we're going to look back in 20 years and be like, we really dropped the ball. And I'm not going to let that happen. So I will do everything in my power to... Everybody doesn't get a trophy just for participation, but we can certainly encourage each other and, you know, be there for one another. And
well, and also too, you know, something that is really important, like just to highlight, and you're a shining example of this, is I think a lot of times, especially like when you're in a early stage, you put that responsibility on those that are much farther ahead of you. And No. Anyone at any time can take even the smallest step to start a movement.
Yes. Even to you and Woe and all the things that you're doing. Something that we discussed was like, well, you did Startup Sisters and you were like, well, I don't know because I went to your event. And I was like, the more, there is no one singular voice that can speak for all women. Or if you go to this event, now you're, you know, you're feminist enough or you're empowered enough. Like, that's not how it works. The more women like you who are visible and who are encouraging others like me to really face forward and find our voices and to take the risk, right? So it's necessary and it's not finite, right?
No, like and it needs amplification, honestly, like, you know, diversity and inclusion, you know, you're seeing it everywhere, but that's why it's getting so much attention because you are seeing so many different people, you know, take a stand and make that a big part of their message. But if any one of them said, well, that person talked about diversity and inclusion, so maybe I don't need to. Like, no, the whole movement is gaining momentum because multiple people have joined the conversation.
And you don't get to slack off because somebody else did good work in front of you, right? Like,
you don't
get to take a nap.
Right.
So for all the women in Atlanta who, Jen Bonet and Jackie Chu and all these really, and Bernie Dixon, all these established women who have carved a path where there was none. And so we're not allowed to just sit back and rest on
and
their laurels.
Thank you. Yeah.
Now it's our turn as the new up and coming class of women and minority women to really keep opening the door for the ladies behind us.
Woo! I think that is a really good place to like, boom, mic drop.
Yes.
Stephanie, if someone is listening and they're interested in following you, getting connected, where should they go?
They should go to Instagram, y'all. I mean, Actively with two V's is where you can find us on. We do it for the gram. We have good content. Check us out. We're the most fun there. We are on Facebook and Twitter, but we're really fun on Instagram.
I love it. Yes. Stephanie with an F, Actively with two V's.
Yes. We like to keep it confusing.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's been so great. Your team is amazing. Thanks, guys.
I love it. And to the listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And remember that today is a great day to face forward and mastermind your launch.